See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You've got a death curse!
There's a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
You're Cinescare.
Welcome to the Cinescare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And this week, Joe, I don't know if you noticed or not, but it's just you and I. It's old school.
Roomier.
It is very roomy.
Elbow room now.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm constantly being interrupted either.
No, I don't feel like I'm going to have to rush through what I want to say before Mark interrupts me. And I also don't feel like there's going to be any weird faces being made at me during this episode.
I could try.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever get that? Like when you're with Mark, you know, he has a look like he wants to interrupt you so bad, and you feel you've got to say what you have to say as quickly as you can, because if there's even a second pause in what you're saying or half second pause in what you're saying, he's going to interrupt.
I usually just stop talking and give up because I know he's not listening to what I have to say. He's right. Already got that thought locked and loaded, and he's just waiting for his turn to speak. Mm-hmm. So. But we love you, Mark.
Oh, we love you. We love you, Mark. So it's just Joe and me this week. And of course, we are in the midst of Shocktober. So. And as everyone knows, Shocktober means horror movies, lots of horror movies every single day.
One a day, at least.
One a day. I've been doing them one a day. I've been keeping up. There was one day that I did two because I couldn't. I knew I wasn't going to be able to do one the next day. But
I've got 27 done so far.
You've watched 27 movies?
Yes.
And I have not.
Today's the 22nd. So I got five in the bank.
Oh, wow. I think I've got just the right amount, or just exactly what you would expect of someone. So,
okay.
Whatever that's supposed to mean, but, I mean, I've got whatever I've got. What is today? The 22nd. So I've got 21. Yeah, I've got 21 done. But of course, we're recording today, so I'm going to have to squeeze one in when we're done. But that's one of the benefits of Mark not being here. I'll be able to get another movie in. So
yeah, at least one.
Yeah, at least one of the benefits, or there are other benefits. Oh,
there are several benefits, and probably at least one movie.
Yeah.
So you want to go through some of these?
Yeah, Mark or Joe, what did you watch in your Shocktober so far?
So let's see. Today's 22nd, so 2 weeks ago would have been the 8th when we recorded last.
Right.
So since then, I've watched Itchy the Killer, which not a very well known, very popular film, but it does have quite a groundswell. On the underside of horror. This is a Japanese, not animation, but it was taken from a manga. Very extreme horror.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. It was one of those things that I watched because if you're hosting a horror movie podcast, you should probably see everything at least once. And that's one that I'd heard things about, and I just figured I should. Along with the next one that I watched, this is actually the second time I've seen this, called Necromantic. You ever seen that one, Matt?
Oh yeah, I have not seen it, but it's on Shudder, I think, right? Or
I believe so. There's a sequel to it too, which I have not seen. But decades ago, when I used to work at Borders, there was a gentleman that handed me a copy of it on VHS when I was just a youth, and said, you should watch this. And it's not something you should be handing anybody, really. But Necromantic, I believe it's German film. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. No, I think I'm German or French. It's about a gentleman, him and his wife have a fetish for dead things. And luckily for him, he works in, I guess, public services, where if there's a car accident, there's like a body on the side of the road, he goes and cleans it up. Well, one day there's a multi-car accident and there's a corpse on the side of the road. He was supposed to take it to the coroner's office. He decided to take it home to his wife and they made love to it. Sweet, sweet love to that corpse. Until he lost his job, and then she got mad and left him and took the corpse with her. But it was very bizarre film. If you're a completist in this genre, I would say go ahead and watch it. And it's not very long. It's also not very interesting. It's not very well made. There's not a whole lot of good things for it, except for the fact that you can say, yeah, I've seen Necromantic. I watched a movie with Bruce Campbell, not like we watched it together, but he was in it. Black Friday, which I think we all need to familiarize ourselves with. Yeah. Hopefully soon in the future, we'll have a reason for that. Mm-hmm. I did watch one of my favorites from a couple years ago. Again, with my entire family, we watched No One Will Save You, that sort of alien home invasion film that does not mm-hmm. have any dialogue in it. Right. My family really liked that one, so I was surprised. Here's a newer one that was on Hulu. Did you watch Mr. Crockett?
No.
Surprisingly good. I had very low expectations for this film. It's about a, I guess, like child, sort of like a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood type of character. But things go awry. He starts coming out of the TV into our reality. In his mind, in an effort to take away kids that have been neglected by their parents or don't like their parents anymore. And it turns into a kind of like part Nightmare on Elm Street almost type thing. You're going into the TV to try to rescue the kids and bring them back. Anyway, they do a lot of violent things towards some of the neglectful parents, and some of the effects were quite good. I was really surprised with this one. It was bright and colorful, well acted, decent storyline. I would recommend this one. It was kind of fun.
Mr. Crockett, eh?
Yeah, just came out this year. Just came out this month, as a matter of fact. Oh. And that, I believe, like I said, I think it was on Hulu. I watched 2018's Halloween because
I watched
The Shining. Oh, did you really?
Mm-hmm.
I really like the ending down mm-hmm. in the basement where they're trapping Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I watched Terrifier 3 in the theaters.
I did too.
You did as well. I also believe Mark did.
He did, yeah.
I will not get into it because it's too new, but I will say I really enjoyed it. It is not my number one movie of the year. It is probably going to wind up in my top 10. It's exactly what you thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
It's bloody, it's gross, it's disgusting. It lives up to all the hype. My biggest issue with it is that whole fantasy storyline that picks up from Terrifier 2. I don't much care for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I liked it. I didn't love it. I mean, it was fun, and I would say I did not care for the anthology, what is it, All Hallows Eve or whatever. I didn't care for that anthology at all. And the first Terrifier was okay to me. I think I gave it maybe three cuts. I didn't love it. I thought it was just okay. And then Terrifier 2, I loved. It was, I think, my number two or three movie a couple years ago for the year. And I loved Terrifier 2. This one is somewhere in between. It's somewhere in between the first one and the second one for me. It's good. And it's certainly, if you are really into these movies and you are a huge fan of practical effects gore, then you got to see it, obviously. It's something, you know, if you're a horror fan and you're really into, into these movies. Obviously, you got to see it, but I didn't love it. I thought it was okay. It probably won't be in my top 10. It'll hover somewhere near, but I have a feeling this year is a strong year, as we're going to find out as we keep going. This is a really strong year, so I will be surprised if it's in my top 10, but I don't know. Usually by the end of the year, you get a different feeling, you know, once you get into late December and you start looking back at these, and then you start shifting things around, and things that you thought were going to be really high maybe aren't, and then other things that, you know, are, you thought were going to be lower might be a little higher. But I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if it's somewhere in my top 10, but I have a feeling it won't be, but it's definitely worth checking out for sure. Yeah.
Sure. To continue on, I watched Frankenweenie because why not? Yeah. I revisited Inside from 2007, that home invasion film where the pregnant woman. Yeah. She's at home. She's pregnant. A woman breaks in her house to try to steal her child right out of the womb.
Yeah.
Great film. I didn't realize, or I may have before and totally forgot about it, but there's an American remake.
Yeah.
And I still have not seen that. I don't know that I will bother.
Yeah, I think it's too much. I think it's terrible from what I've heard anyway. I haven't seen it.
But. Okay. I also watched John Carpenter's Christine. And then I went to go see The Substance in the theater, which, Matt, you also saw.
Mm-hmm.
That will certainly be cresting near the top of my 100% top 10 list. Yes.
Yeah.
That for all those people jumping on the bandwagon with Terrifier 3 saying, oh my God, I heard it's so bloody. It's so disgusting. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. However, go see The Substance. Otherwise,
yeah.
You know, if you like that, you'll love The Substance, because that's the production value is 1,000 times better. It looks like it's, you know, a major motion picture backed by a theater company with great lighting, great acting, great actors, and it won't disappoint at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I 100% agree. It's one of the best movies of the year, I think. And I thought, you know, Terrifier 3 had a lot of gore too, but after a while, it feels like situations are just set up to get to, you know, I think the director, Damien Leone. Yeah. The Damien Leone, he kind of runs these things almost like he was a porn producer, director, writer, whatever. Like it's not this overt, but you know, it's the pizza guy comes to the house and says, hey, I heard you ordered all meat or something like that. And
extra
and
then, sausage.
Wow. Yeah. You know, that whole thing happens. And it's sort of like that. It's the gore version of that, you know, it's like you meet a couple characters, you know, oh, in a couple scenes, these characters, instead of saying they're going to have sex, you're like, they're going to get killed in brutal way. Right.
Right.
And so after a while, to me, that gets a little tedious. And I thought that Terrifier 2, the story just was stronger with it. And this one, it almost felt like a rehash of the same story, you know, really. It's the same kind of thing. It's the girl and her brother, you know, obviously they're trying to get over what happened to them in the last one, but it felt like the whole point of the movie was the gore. Whereas with The Substance, the gore, The Substance has substance, but the gore is part of it. Like it is wrapped up in the story itself, and it comes from the story rather than the other way around. And the performances are amazing. And this is, as Mark had said last time, it has a lot to do with women, our obsession with the female figure and appearance and looks and the body and women's own, you know, insecurities about that, especially when it comes to actresses or celebrities. These women, they start getting pushed to the side as they get older. And Demi Moore as an actress is really living that, right? Because she's I don't know that she was a big sex symbol in the 80s and 90s, but she was a leading lady for sure. And I guess when she did Striptease, that, you know, kind of became a sex symbol to some degree, but you know, she was always just an actress and a leading lady, and but as she began to lose her as she got older and naturally lost some of her youthful looks, those jobs have been fewer and farther between for her, as it is with a lot of actresses. And so that's what this movie's about. And, you know, I people talk about brave performances a lot in movies, and most of the time it's not earned, you know, like Brave. What was brave about that? But this was brave. Like Demi Moore showing everything, certainly, her entire body without any favorable lighting or favorable makeup or favorable camera angles. No butt double. Everything, she's showing everything on her body, completely full nudity, as her body is at her age. And at her age, it's still an incredible body, by the way, but compared to this young starlet, obviously it's not going to be the same. And so I, you know, I would say that her performance, I never thought she was a great actor, but she's great in this. And same with, what's her name? Margaret Qualley. Is that her name? Yeah. Margaret Qualley. Yeah. She was great in this too. And they both go, you know, they go all the way in this thing. They're both really, they put it all on the line in this movie. It's pretty fantastic. So, and of course, Dennis Quaid is such a creep. It's in this.
Tremendous.
You know, yeah. And Mark, when he talked about him eating
the shrimp,
he didn't elaborate on why it was interesting to him. So you and I both laughed about the fact that he'd mentioned it, because it was just an aside comment. It was like,
I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, I had no idea what he was talking about. He could have said, you know, it's the most disgusting shrimp eating scene he's ever seen. He just said, yes, I love the way he eats shrimp or something like that. But anyway, he is really a sleaze in this movie and plays it really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is, I highly recommend this movie. It will be, like Joe said, I think it'll be for all of us way up on our lists, I would imagine.
The ending of The Substance reminded me of the ending of Men.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, yeah.
That monstrosity.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Anyway.
So great.
Yeah, fantastic film. Because I watched The Shining, I had to follow it up with Dr. Sleep, so I watched that. Uh-huh. I watched The Conjuring 1 and 2, but that's...
Were you persuaded by watching Dr. Sleep into believing the way Mark does that it's a better movie than The Shining?
No, oddly enough, it did not sway me. It's a good movie. Yeah. I enjoy it quite a bit, but it's not anywhere in the same ballpark as The Shining.
Right. Yeah.
And then Matt and I know both watched a new movie called Mads.
Yes.
Which, that's French?
Yeah, it's a French movie, yeah.
French film, all done in one cut.
Yeah.
And until you brought that up to me, I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
I was like going back in my head mentally after you had mentioned that. And then researching and reading article after article, it turns out they did this like 5 times. Wow. Over the course of 5 days, they reshot it because they wanted it in one continuous hour and a half long shot.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this film. This, it's again, great. Will like, yeah, be punching its weight against The Substance for my number one slot. It takes away all the garbage that I don't care for in a zombie or creature, mad creature type film. I don't need the backstory. I don't need a solution. I don't need any of that. I just want slice of life. What's going on with these characters and how do they survive or not survive?
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what you got. And it keeps you guessing every second of the way, always on the edge of your seat. Fantastic film. And that's on Shudder, right?
Right. It's on Shudder. And it just came out last weekend on Shudder. And I agree, this is also going to be vying for the top of my charts along with a few other films. And it's definitely, you know, it's a zombie / virus kind of movie. But it does. It's just a new take. And just when you thought there was no way to have a new take on that genre, virus slash zombie movie. This one goes in a direction I'd never seen before and does things. And it's not just the gimmick of the one shot. It's not, you know, the one shot. It's not a gimmick. It follows a storyline between three people, and there's a reason why they're doing it all in one take. It flows so well. And it does.
The handoffs are amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is amazing. We were watching it and I realized, you know, because as I've been making these shorts, I'm really very cognizant now of what I'm seeing and how they do things, especially when I'm watching an indie film or a foreign film where it's not some big Hollywood production. And so I definitely like seeing what other people are doing. And as I'm watching it, I realize, okay, there's no cut there. It doesn't look like there's a cut here. And then the guy gets into a car and we just ride along with him. And I'm like, wait a minute, where did that happen? And obviously the cameraman must have gotten onto a motorcycle at some point or some kind of vehicle to follow. And then another point, it looks like he got into the back seat of the car. It's pretty amazing. And how they timed this out over the period of an hour and a half. I mean, they started this. I mean, it's all happening in real time, and it all begins in, it looks like a dusk hour, you know, because there's still some daylight when the movie starts. And then you have that whole scene with the girl that he meets on the road, and then he goes home, and in the meantime, it gets dark naturally at, you know, as they're shooting. It's pretty amazing. And I just don't know. There were a couple flubs. I noticed a shadow a couple times of the cameraman, a couple times. But aside from that, I didn't notice anything that was a mistake. And I thought, you know, because Birdman did something similar. It was a shot to look like it was all one take, but it wasn't all one take. They had some hidden cuts. There were a lot of long takes, but they had transitions like when the camera would move around a wall or something like that, there would be a hidden cut there. But this, from what I've read, the director swears up and down that it is all one take. And that is, God, I can't imagine how complex that has to be. You've got it. What was that Japanese movie that we watched where it was something similar to that? And they show when the credits are rolling,
one,
you know, the
one cut of the dead.
Or maybe that's a Korean movie where they show the behind the scenes during the credits and you see the actual crew running and jumping and sliding different places to get in the right position for different shots. They had to have been doing the same thing in this. Like it's insane. Insane.
Actually I found, while I was trying to read up on a couple articles about it, that one of the things that struck me as odd is I know our main character, the movie starts out, he's at his drug dealer's house getting something for the night, and turns out it's our main character's, it's his birthday and he's a rich spoiled little brat kid. Mm-hmm. He gets into his car to drive home and it's an old like late 70s Mustang convertible. Yeah, it's in France, and I'm thinking, wow, that's an odd car for him to be driving,
right?
And I found out they picked that vehicle specifically because it's a much bigger vehicle, American made, you know, muscle car, and it's got, you know, convertible, and they can hop in and out of it easily, because during that scene where he's driving away and he runs into that girl, literally, the cameraman's in the back seat the whole time. He was able to hop in and hop out quickly.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been able to do that with like a Fiat or something.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, and it was a cool Mustang too. Michelle was even like, wow, that's a nice car there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they switch to, you know, we follow his girlfriend, and she was so good. Like that girl,
she was amazing.
She was fantastic. It kind of reminded
me. Love her
me,
laugh.
She reminded me of Isabella Gianni in Possession a little bit, but she had her whole ha 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 thing that she was doing. It was like that scene of Possession that happens in the, I think the subway tunnel or whatever, where she's going crazy. It's this girl doing that for like 15 minutes. It was fantastic. Right. It's so good. Yeah. And then when we switch to the third girl, you see her running in the background. I mean, it's so, it's just so great. It was, it, yeah. I, this is
great jump scares too.
Yeah.
How do you play the elevator scene? I won't get into it any more than that.
Yeah.
Elevator doors are about to go. There's, how do you plan a jump scare in a movie with no cuts?
Right. Yeah.
It's outstanding.
It had to have been timed perfectly. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing film.
Oh, and the train dodge. How do you time that?
That I did. I still don't know how they did that. There had to have been something, but that was, I don't know how they did that. That was insane.
So anyway, if you haven't seen Mads yet, you need to go watch that. Do yourself a favor. It's on Shudder. You absolutely need to see that this year. It'll be one of your favorite. It's just an amazing piece of cinematography to watch.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. I watched Woman of the Hour on Netflix with Anna Kendrick. Not really horror, more suspense. Anna Kendrick is on The Dating Game. And she's got Bachelors 1, 2, and 3. Turns out Bachelor 3 is a serial killer. And it's basically just like an, I don't know if this was based off of something real or not. I'm not sure.
I think there was a Dating Game contestant that was a serial killer, I believe.
Yeah. I think so. I don't know why else they would have made it the way that they did if it wasn't based off a true story. But anyway, it was mildly entertaining. I'm okay that I watched it. Wasn't a waste of time. Decently well done. Moving down my list. Oh, I watched Maxine, or as I like to call it, Scream 3. Was my least favorite. I wasn't a huge fan of this franchise to begin with, but this one took a fast paced car ride to the bottom of the list.
Yeah. I didn't care for Maxine. As I said earlier this summer when I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was a big fan of the first two, especially X. Yeah. I think was my number one movie of 20, whatever year that was, 2022, I think. But no, this one I didn't care for.
I just remember when it was announced that Maxine was coming out, Mark flipping out so much. But Joe, it could be like a perfect trilogy. You know how rare that is to have a perfect trilogy? All right, pump the brakes, Mark. Calm down. But no, it never happened. It's not a perfect trilogy by a long shot. No. So, also watched Never Hike Alone 2.
Right. Yep.
And can we state as to why we watched that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Matt and Mark and myself and Vince DeSanti we recorded a commentary track that will appear on the Blu-ray discs when they come out. So when they do come out, we will certainly let you know. Make sure you purchase your own copy and you can hear what Matt, Mark, Vincent, and I all had to say about the film.
Yeah.
Which is, spoiler alert, nothing but great things.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun and it was great because we had Vinny there and we, you know, we could ask him, hey, how did you do this? And then he talk about it. So it's great. And I think that it's part of a GoFundMe thing. So look up Womp Stomp Films, look up their social media and you should be directed to it'll be part of the Blu-ray or something like that, but I'm not sure exactly which one, but yeah.
Throw some money at the guy. He made a wonderful product and everyone should back him. We did.
Yep. Yep. So.
And that brings us to today. That's my Shocktober list thus far.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I watched 2018 as well. Oh, actually, sorry. The 8th was the last area. Okay. So the 9th I saw the TV Glow, which was okay. I thought I was going to like it more than I did, but it was kind of one note, one tone, kind of a gloomy kind of thing, and I don't know that it's really that much horror. Really, it's there's some borderline, you know, maybe adjacent things, but not really. But I didn't like it as much as I thought I would. I gave it 3.5 cuts. It's worth checking out, especially if you like kind of art house sort of A24 stuff. You might enjoy it, but it's I didn't love it. And I really was looking forward to it, and I never got around to seeing it in the theaters this last summer when it was out, but I was really looking forward to it, and I wanted it to be better than that. And I watched Christmas Bloody Christmas again on the 10th, which still remains one of my favorites. On the 11th, I watched 2018 Halloween, which I love. I really enjoy that. I think it's a really good, it's the best of those three. And the other two, even though I enjoyed watching them, probably the third one the least of the three, but I still, you know, found it interesting at least. Halloween Kills, though, I still haven't really wanted to revisit that one for some reason. But this one I've revisited multiple times, and I really I think it captures the essence of that franchise about as well as any of the sequels. So, and of course, Terrifier 3, Substance. Oh, we did watch a very indie, do-it-yourself indie film called Haunt Season that I believe is on. Well, we rented it, I think. Yeah, we rented it. And it's a very indie movie. It's about a group of people who create a haunt, you know, a Halloween haunt for people to go through. And it was okay. It was definitely low budget, and you can see it. But they, being somebody who makes these little movies too with friends, it has that vibe. So it's sort of charming in a way. It's certainly one. It has a good Halloween atmosphere. It's not great, but I thought it was definitely worth checking out if you want to watch something that kind of has the Halloween mood. And there aren't a lot of like indie or low budget films anymore that you can watch that don't feel like low budget films, but you know what I mean? Like in those 80s movies that were low budget, you know, like Pieces or Blood Rage or those kind of movies, we don't see those nowadays, you know, and this has that kind of feel. So it's maybe worth checking out. I'm not going to, don't like quote me on it. It's not like great, but it's definitely worth checking out. Sorry. I need to clear my throat. Sorry.
Was I supposed to vamp?
No, I got okay. That done quick. Okay. On the 15th, I watched a movie on, I believe, is it on Shudder? Yes. Called Daddy's Head, which I thought was pretty good. Definitely worth checking out. This is one where a boy's father dies, and he dies before the movie starts. So it's kind of in the aftermath after the, I believe just after the funeral. And now this boy has a stepmom that is kind of younger, and she didn't really want to be a mom that much. She just was in love with the dad, and then the dad dies, and the kid's biological mom had died a few years ago from, I think, cancer or something like that. And so the dad gets into a horrible accident and winds up dying. And so we're left with this stepmom who's only been in their lives for a few years, maybe. And the kid and the stepmom have never really bonded or even liked each other that much. I mean, the kid has always kind of felt like, I lost my mom, and then my dad marries this woman a while later, and it's just weird, you know? And suddenly this demon starts visiting them, and it has the face of the dad. And so there's some really creepy images in it. It's not great. I gave it 3.5 cuts. It's not, you know, but I thought there was some really creepy images in it, and definitely, it's definitely worth checking out for Shocktober. I do recommend it. It's a good movie. I felt like, well, we can talk about qualms later, but I definitely think it's worth checking out. Another movie that I strongly recommend is called Strange Darling. We watched that on the 16th. This is also, if I'm not mistaken, it's for rent. We rented it. This is a really good movie, and I don't know how to talk about it without giving away too much, because there's a lot going on, and it's structured in a very unusual way. It's structured in six, I think six acts, but they're all kind of out of order. It's really interesting movie and really, really good. So I highly recommend that. I imagine Strange Darling is probably, again, it's pushing to be in my top 10 for sure. It's actually, I believe right now it's pushing to be in my top five. But again, it's one of those things that you kind of discover as the year goes on, whether things stick around or not. But this is for sure, I think, going to be one that's going to be in my top 10. Highly, highly recommend it. Strange Darling. It's a crazy movie. And then I revisited Over the Garden Wall because Michelle hadn't finished that one. So if you haven't watched the series Over the Garden Wall, I highly recommend it. It's great. Mads, of course, and that's it. Yeah, Never Hike Alone 2 was the only other thing other than the movies that we've got for this, for the theme. The only other thing I wanted to mention is that I've been continuing to watch From, and again, highly recommend this series. This season each season has gotten better. This is, I think, the third season, and it's really, really strong. So please, if you get a chance, check out From it. I highly recommend it. It's on MGM Plus. I think it's had a couple different channels that it's been, or streaming channels that it's been on, but it's on MGM Plus now. And you can actually get a deal on AMC Plus on, like, if you subscribe to AMC Plus on Amazon, they'll give you a deal where you get that and MGM Plus for like just a couple dollars more. So it's well worth it just to watch From, and actually MGM Plus has quite a bit of stuff on it too. So
speaking of Shocktober, I have a question for you. Yeah. What, there's only a couple days left of Shocktober. Mm-hmm. So what are movies that you like mentally think, oh, I got to watch this as part of Shocktober?
Well, now that we're coming to the home stretch, No, like probably
old-time favorites.
Yeah. Now that we're on the home stretch, it'll be mostly the Halloween franchise. I still haven't watched Halloween 2. I usually, every year on Halloween, I watch Halloween. So that's just my tradition. It's been my tradition forever. But before that, I will hit Halloween 2, probably Halloween 3. It just depends on if there's anything else that pops up. But I'll definitely watch Halloween 2, 4, 5, 6. And I'll definitely watch those because 5 and 6, I haven't watched those since we did our Halloween episode a few, you know, the first year. Or no, the second year, I guess. And so I'd like to check out Halloween 5 and 6 again. So how about you?
I agree with the Halloween part. I usually watch Halloween. I wanted to try to watch at least just 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. I need to make sure I watch Trick or Treat.
Oh yeah. I was about to say that. Yeah.
And lastly, this has nothing to do with anything else. I just have a hankering to watch Cobweb again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe Malignant. 'Cause I don't think I've seen Malignant since we reviewed it.
Yeah, I've thought about revisiting that one too. I don't think I'll do it during Shocktober, but yeah, I definitely, Trick or Treat is another one I watched the last week of October. And in fact, they had a screening of it out here with the director, who came out afterwards and answered questions and everything. One of my coworkers went to it, and she didn't know the movie at all. She was just going because a friend of hers had tickets, I think. Yeah. And so she didn't know anything about the movie, and I was like, oh my God, it's one of my favorites. And she came back today raving about it. She was so like, she was like, oh my God, I've never even heard of this movie. And she just loved it. So
I feel so envious of those people seeing that for the first time. That if somebody ever says, oh, I've never seen The Mist before.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I wish I was in your shoes.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well,
that wrecks up Shocktober.
Yep. That and so yeah, this is, I mean, I guess this is our Halloween episode, Joe. Unfortunately Mark can't be here with us for it, but you know, what can you do? Well, that brings us to our pick this week, and that is The Conjuring 1 and 2. Why did I pick 1 and 2, Joe? You have a quizzical look on your face like, why did you do that, man?
Why did you pick 1 and 2?
That's your question. I thought you were going to say, why didn't you pick part 3? But no, you were like, why did you also pick 1?
I said what I said. Yeah.
Well, the reason I picked 1 and 2 and not 3, to answer that question first, is that I hate part 3 and I didn't want to waste a Shocktober pick doing it. And the reason I picked 2 is that my memory of it was that I enjoyed it. And I thought there were some good jump scares and setups. I enjoyed it less.
Fading?
I enjoyed it less this time, but I still think it's worth checking out. But
it's the springboard to Patrick Wilson's music career. Well, is what it is.
That's a shame. That
nobody
song,
strums but, my heartstrings like Patrick Wilson in an acoustic guitar.
It's true. I know. That what is it? Wise Men. What's the name of the song? Fools Rush In.
I Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
With his Elvis impression.
Yeah, I don't quite understand why they needed to do that. And also, I just didn't remember how. Well, we could talk about that movie.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Actually, we might as well start off. Let's just start off with The Conjuring 2. What the heck? It might as well, since we already started.
Sequential. Sure.
Yeah. So The Conjuring 2 is, of course, based on the actual story of the Enfield haunting in Enfield, England. And there have been a lot of controversies about this story. And there's a lot of talk about it being a complete hoax and a lot of this stuff, shockingly, that it turns out. They did actually show the scene where the girl is bending the spoon, right? And that actually happened in real life, and that was one of the reasons why the people were saying it's all a hoax, because they found the girls actually just bending the spoons with their hands. But they tried to explain that away in this movie. I'm not sure they did it effectively, but.
So what's the synopsis for our viewers at home that haven't seen this?
Well, Joe, let me tell you.
Hold on.
Yeah. So Lorraine and Ed Warren travel to North London to help a single mother raising four children alone in a house plagued by a malicious spirit. And so there's this mother, single mother with both of these movies have a lot of kids in the family, but I guess it is the 70s. They do. It is the 70s. So they had in 60s and 70s, I guess they had larger families, but
they're not even Catholic.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Are they? No,
they're not.
Well, no, kids. They're probably,
I know in the first one, they're not, because they didn't baptize the kids.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. So they out of nowhere, I guess this family starts having all kinds of stuff happen, and at first they think it's the evil spirit of an old guy who died there, but they come to find out it's a different spirit altogether. It does seem like this movie was a jumping board for The Nun and the whole Nun franchise, as well as I thought they were going to also use it as a jumping off board for The Crooked Man. I thought The Crooked Man was going to become a franchise of its own, but they never really did anything with that, thankfully, because he's a terrible CGI character, by the way.
Yes.
Awful. They start having some trouble, and of course Ed and Lorraine Warren are recruited by the Catholic Church to go investigate to find evidence, so that the Catholic Church can come and decide whether or not they're going to do an exorcism. This movie was also directed by James Wan. You can see James Wan's, he's a very gifted filmmaker. I don't think that this one is as strong as the first one, certainly nowhere near as strong as the first one, but for an entertaining ghost movie, it's not bad. I don't know why they started off with the Amityville Conjuring. You know, I would have loved to have seen an Amityville movie where it's done by James Wan and the whole movie is spent with them. But I guess they figured Amityville's been, you know, done and done and done over and over. So they just start with a pre-credit scene of the Amityville, of their Amityville investigation.
I agree. It would have made a nice tie into reality instead of just a reference point.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it would have given some, foundation, some grounding that, you know, something everyone, at least in this genre, was familiar with.
Right.
To begin with, the Amityville, you know, knowing that they came in and had something to do with it.
Yeah.
That would have given us a nice point of reference to start off with.
Yeah. I did think that I liked the scene with the nun painting. I think mm-hmm. that's a pretty creepy and very effective scene. And it seems, I feel like the whole nun thing though, kind of felt shoehorned into this movie. And I don't know that it really completely worked. But the scenes where they did have the nun were pretty creepy. Like the shot of the nun down the hall at the Warren's house is a creepy shot. And I kept wishing, like, instead of going to England with this family, I wish they'd focused more on this nun and just did their own story with it. But I guess that's just too much to ask. But I like the painting scene with her in that room and the nun and the shadow goes walking across the wall. That was pretty interesting, I thought. I thought the holding, when they interviewed the girl and she's holding water in her mouth, that doesn't make sense.
No,
I don't know what that's supposed to prove, because if you are being possessed by a ghost or by a demon or a ghost or whatever, they still need to use your mouth. Like that, the logic of that doesn't make any sense to me. Like how that would prove that she's not doing it. Right.
Some might say that theory doesn't hold any water.
Oh, where are we at here? There we go. Hold on. Sorry.
Do I need to repeat it? That theory doesn't hold water. Thank you. Yeah.
There you go. I give you a double for that one. Oh, boy. Thank you.
That was worth it.
Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all.
But I agree with the skeptic. That's why they made everyone turn their head.
Right.
She probably spit out the water and took another drink right before.
Yeah. If you're taking those precautions.
Yeah. You need to leave the room.
Right. Yeah. I can't do it if you're in the room with me. Like,
and I need two glasses of water for no reason.
Right. I mean, if you're doing things in a scientific way, observation is a pretty big part of that. I would
maybe fine. We won't watch you, but we'll put a video camera on you.
Right. Yeah.
We'll leave the room.
Yeah. I did think this, I didn't remember this dragging that much, but I felt like it dragged in parts this time watching it. It doesn't hold up well at a rewatch, really. I don't think it's a little on the long side. I think it's 134. It was 2 hours, 15 minutes almost. Yeah. So I do feel like it drags a bit and it didn't need to be as long as it is. And then also, it really goes too big at the end. The ending, I feel like they felt like they had to have this big bombastic ending with, you know, trying to tie back Elaine's dreams of him dying and tie it all together. And then they've got this window being blown out by, you know, it's just too much. And the whole scene of the crosses turning upside down, which never really happened. A lot of things in this just never really happened. So,
some might say none of it happened.
Well, that's true. Yeah. So, Joe, what are your thoughts on The Conjuring 2?
It starts off as a great anti-smoking ad because, you know, you get caught smoking at school. You're going to go home and that day you're going to get possessed by some old creepy guy named Bill.
Yeah. You know, I did notice that no one in this movie smokes. And at that time, they all would have been smoking. Like, I didn't notice.
Mother does.
The mother did? Oh, yeah. The mother does.
The opening scene, because I'm like screaming hypocrite when her daughter comes home and she gets accused of smoking while she's smoking herself. So,
yeah.
Plenty of decent Dutch angles at the beginning of this film, I noticed. there's much better music in this. This was a note that I had. There's much better music in this one than part one, because we had London Calling by The Clash. Mm-hmm. We had Bus Stop by The Hollies. We had I Started a Joke by The Bee Gees, which is a great song. And then Patrick Wilson picks up a guitar.
Yeah.
And it just totally ruins everything. And it's one thing for him to pick it up and play play that Elvis tune and do your Elvis impersonation as a joke for a bit. But they played, that went on way too long.
Yeah.
He played a verse, a bridge, and went back to the chorus. Mm-hmm. Totally. That's why this movie is 2 hours and 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
I don't think Patrick Wilson should be allowed more than one horror franchise. He's got this, and then he's got Insidious.
Yeah.
And I always forget which one is which. It's like, yeah, I have to watch, see a picture of it.
And they're both James Wan.
Yeah. There's other actors out there, James. Mm-hmm. We could probably come up with a really short list for you. Mm. Vera Farmiga, I always really enjoy her, but the chemistry that she's got between Patrick Wilson just seems so over the top. Like, it's too lovey dovey for my taste.
I kind of like sickening their relationship, but yeah,
I don't know. I'd rather I don't know. It seems really Mr. Roger neighborhood ish to me with each other. But anyway, that's just a personal thing.
Well, I agree. The real couple is super religious,
Yeah. I do really enjoy the nun aspect in this, and I wish the nun movies offshoot had been much better than they were. I know the Nun 2 was just god awful, and the first Nun was, I gave it some leeway because I knew they were trying to set up something, but I did every time the Nun was on screen, other than it looking like Marilyn Manson in A Habit. It seems like a cross between Art the Clown and Marilyn Manson, but I do like the character. I like the folklore behind the character. It's a great way to introduce it. I just don't know that I would have spun off an entire franchise of movies with it.
Yeah. I actually didn't mind the Nun 2. The first one was pretty bad, but I didn't mind the Nun 2. But
the Nun 2, bad habit.
Back in the habit.
So yeah, that's I don't really have much to say about this.
Yeah, one. I mean, I think there's some effective jump scares. And yeah, I like the music. I like the songs that you mentioned, but I don't feel they add much to horror to a horror movie,
they just have good taste in music,
right? Yeah. But I thought I do think there's some pretty effective jump scares. I thought the whole scene with the tent that's in the hallway, I thought was pretty well done with the boy. And even though I don't like the look of the Crooked Man, I think, and there were a few good jump moments. So it's certainly not a waste of a time as a movie, but it's not great.
No, I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. I didn't not like this film. it was fine. It's good. I enjoyed it. I'm not disappointed that I wasted time. I didn't waste time watching it. It was worth it. And I wouldn't go any further than this. I wouldn't watch Conjuring 3, although I have.
Yeah. Well, I have, but and the Conjuring 4 is coming out next year.
Oh boy.
And it's not directed by James Wan, unfortunately.
No, even better.
And what's Vera Farmiga's sister's name? The younger Farmiga who plays the nun in the Nun. The good nun in the Nun. She's going to be in it too. So there's going to be some tie-in with Tysa Farmiga is her name. There's going to be some tie-in with the Nun in this movie, obviously. So
are the Warrens in this?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, it's going to be the last one. It's called the Conjuring Last Rites, I think, or something like that. I think it's going to be the last one, though. so we'll see. We'll see.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'll get my tickets tomorrow.
And next we have one that is actually, I think, holds up quite well and is, I think it's a classic, and that is The Conjuring, the original Conjuring from 2013, directed by James Wan. Based on the true case files of the Warrens, paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren work to help a family terrorized by a dark presence in their farmhouse. Forced to confront a powerful entity, the Warrens find themselves caught in the most terrifying case of their lives. And this one... this one, I really still love it, and it is one that I revisit every few years, and it's one of my favorite haunting movies. And haunted house movies are the ones, if they're done well, they always give me the creeps. I like these. I love a good haunting film. Now, I like movies like Terrorizer. You know, and I love the gore and I love the practical effects and all of that, but they don't scare me. They don't give me the creeps even. It's just fun. It's just kind of a fun ride. But these kinds of movies having to do with the afterlife and ghosts and hauntings and creepy situations like that, they give me the creeps. I get goosebumps, get the chills sometimes with them. And this is one of the really, really fine examples of that genre of the ghost haunted house. It's sort of a old-fashioned haunted house film in a way. It kind of reminds me of The Haunting a little bit in some ways. Obviously, it's an updated, you know, modern version with a lot stronger scares in it. And it received an R rating, even though there's almost no blood, no gore. Almost, I don't know that other than the dog, I don't think anyone dies in it. But because of this, the intensity of the horror factor and the scares, the ratings board said it would be an R rating, and they wanted PG-13 for this because they thought it would sell a mass audience. And the board said there is no cut that you can give us to make it PG-13. So they went ahead and went with it as a rated R movie, even though I don't know that it necessarily needs to be rated R. There are some intense scenes for sure, but let's see. Well, go ahead, Joe. You start us off with The Conjuring.
I think that this movie is something that the Catholic Church would have latched onto and mm-hmm. supported wholeheartedly, because this is like, Catholics are demon fighters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're haunted, you can't sleep at night, your shutters are blowing on and off, or your cabinet doors, you call the Warrens.
Yeah.
With the backing of the Catholic Church, they'll fix everything.
Yeah.
Like, there should have been an advertising campaign. Money. There should have been a second collection taken up to give money for this to go through production.
Right.
So, this movie has one of the effects that I absolutely adore in movie history. And
which
it's
one?
A wonderful jump scare. The one where she's, it's windy outside, she's got sheets on the clothesline.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes to pull it off, and the sheet blows away and stops and forms a figure
yeah.
of a human being and then blows away. That's just, that blew my mind the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
And I absolutely, that's just not only clever, but scary. It was right up my alley.
Yep.
I love the cast. I've always been a huge fan of Ron Livingston and Lily Taylor.
Yeah, me too.
Lily Taylor is tremendous in this. Ron Livingston mm-hmm. doesn't have much of a role. However, if I were him living in a house with all those women, I'd pray for a poltergeist too. but yeah, this is one I can see watching regularly. It's a fantastic mm-hmm. film. The jump scares are great. It's not too long.
Right.
It holds your interest throughout.
Yeah, it's not even 2 hours.
No. And you know, it's amazing how you can take a movie, two movies in the same franchise with basically the same concepts and same ideas, but you make one a little bit longer
mm-hmm.
and it can ruin a movie.
Yeah.
The editing in it. Because I think part two would have been so much better if they had clipped some of that crap out.
Yeah. Oh,
100%. It could have held our interest a lot better. So. Yeah. No, I can't recommend this enough. The kid actors in this film are fantastic. Actually, the main little girl who's possessed, I kept thinking, I've seen her in other things, but I could not remember. But she's just tremendous.
Which one?
The main daughter, the one that's possessed.
Well, the mom was the one that was possessed.
The one that the mom is picking on.
Oh, the little one?
Yes, the little one. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that actress has gone on to do horror movies as an adult, but one of the daughters, I think it's Mackenzie Foy, was
Cindy.
She's Renesmee or whatever in the Twilight series. She's the daughter of Edward Cullen and Bella.
Yep.
Yeah.
Renesmee.
That's terrible name. Terrible name.
Yeah. Joey King. That was the daughter I was thinking of.
Okay.
Joey King was in Bullet Train. And a couple other things.
Oh, and she was in Dark Knight Rises, apparently. I don't know what part, but yeah.
Oh, I remember where I've seen her from. My wife is obsessed with the terrible movie series called The Kissing Booth. That's where I've seen her. Oh, it's just so bad. It's like straight off the Hallmark Channel, but they made two of them. So.
Oh, she's the one that was in bed and she kept getting her foot pulled.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was the older prison child in Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. I don't remember. Yeah, I don't
know what that means either.
Yeah. Huh. But anyway, she's a tremendous actress.
Is that all you got for this?
That's all I got.
Yeah. I just had some notes. Like, so there's just so many great shots in this. And I love James Wan's, his zooms, those slow zooms in or slows. He does mostly slow zooms in. It just creates a sense of dread. It's so fantastic. I like the clapping game. He has great setups to jump scares. He has, and he did it really well in this one. He did it pretty well in Conjuring 2, but he also did it well in Insidious. He has great setups. And the clapping game that they have where it's like hide and go seek clapping, you know what's going to happen with that. You can feel it when it's happening. There's going to be something jump out during that. And one of my notes was Ron Livingston is underutilized. 100%.
Very much so.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I like the creepiness of simple things like you turn a corner and a door is open that you're not expecting to be open. I just love those little touches like that. And those things were not really in part two. I felt like part two, even though it was long, felt like they were rushing through things too much so that they could have Patrick Wilson sing Elvis or something, but
two verses.
Yeah. But those little touches like that are missing from a lot of Conjuring too. And then when they move in and I was thinking to myself, boy, the previous owner really didn't put any effort into making the place look sellable. You know, I would think that but apparently it was
or cleaning out the damn basement.
Yeah, exactly. Cleaning out anything. But I guess it was
who leaves a pile of 70 chairs, wooden chairs in the middle of the room.
I think the previous family abandoned the house or something like that. And so it was a bank. They later explain after I wrote this note, they later explain it was a bank sale or auction or something they got it at.
However, my house that I currently live in was a bank owned property and I didn't have a ghost or a pile of chairs. So,
yeah, that's true. And you're not Ron Livingston.
No, that's someday. Dare to dream.
I was looking through the Warren house and that room that they've got. They could probably make a movie about every item in the Warren, in that creepy Warren room. Oh,
easily. Yeah.
Yeah. There were a lot of calls. I know there's a lot of calls to the changeling in this, including the music. Or the music box that was also in the changeling, the basement being boarded up is similar to the changeling. poltergeist investigators. I mean, obviously it's not all, but the Changeling, you know, kind of got the ball rolling on this. There was also a ball scene, you know, rolling a ball, rolling in the basement or whatever. That's similar to the Changeling. Oh yeah. There's a scene where Ron Livingston and Patrick Wilson are trying to bust a door down and they're banging into it. And then they bang into it and then go back to do it again. And the door just opens. That is a complete ripoff of, not ripoff, but I guess probably homage to the Changeling, because George C. Scott does the same thing. He's banging the door. And then he goes back to do it again. And the door just opens before he hits it. I loved the hanging body, and then it starts, like, you just see the feet hanging down of the, I think they're in the basement or something like that. And there's, and you look and there's this hanging body and you just see the feet hanging down, and then it like the body turns toward her. That's a great scene. And the girl being pulled around by her hair. There's just a lot of like very intense moments in this, and it's just all very, very well done. And I hope that if they make the fourth one, that they get back to this kind of horror where it's not as, it doesn't, yes, it scenes like that are big and intense, but not in a special effects kind of way. They're intense because we care about the characters. Conjuring 2, I don't know that I cared about those characters that much. We didn't really get to know them that well, but this family is very likable, you know, and some of that has to do with Ron Livingston and Lily Taylor, obviously, are very likable actors, but you care about these characters, and that's really where the dread comes from. Also, another good scene is with that woman, Bathsheba, is up on top of that wardrobe.
Yeah.
Excellent jump scare there too. So yeah, this is, I think it's a classic. It's one of my favorite movies. So, and definitely, I think it's one of the best movies of the 2010s. So, all right, Joe. Well, without Mark here, this went very quickly.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Yeah. So the next pick is yours, right? Or is it Mark's?
No, it's mine.
Oh, it is. Okay, good. I was going to say, mine. Wait a minute. If it's Mark's, we're screwed. But so the next pick is yours, Joe. Tell us what you're picking.
Okay. So the next time we record, it will be on election day.
Oh, yeah.
Not the next time it's released, but the next time we record, it will be on election day. So I have decided to choose three movies about election horror.
All right.
All three of these movies have some sort of election going in it or politicians in it that may not end very well. So first and foremost, we are going to watch. Hang on. I got to figure out where these all are. We're going to watch The Purge election year.
Excellent.
And I have never seen this. I've seen other Purge movies. I don't know that it matters.
Here's a fun fact about me, Joe. I've only seen part of the first one, and I haven't seen any of the rest.
Okay, I'm assuming this isn't like a continuing story. I'm guessing it's self-contained enough that we ought to be able to figure out what's going on.
I think so.
But that is available on Peacock. The next one we are going to do, it's a rental, but it's one near and dear to my heart. We're going to watch from 1983, The Dead Zone with Christopher Walken.
Christopher and
I haven't Walken. Seen this. I haven't seen this in years. Love the film. Love the book. Actually, I even loved the TV series with Anthony Michael Hall. That was.
I don't think I ever saw that one. Yeah.
Oh, it was wonderful. And last but not least, because we haven't officially done this as a pick on the show, from 1988, we are going to watch John Carpenter's They Live with Roddy Piper.
Perfect. And what
they
is that
live
on?
That is on Peacock as well. Excellent. So two Peacocks and a rental.
Excellent.
Now, I can't stress this enough. These movies are on Peacock and a rental right now. We are in October.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee their availability come November 1st. So
watch them
early, watch them often, just like voting.
Yeah.
Vote early, vote often.
Vote early, vote often. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to do.
Excellent. Excellent. Perfect. Let me.
And we won't even know the results of the election while we're recording.
That's It'll true. All be yeah.
Like coming in.
Yeah, they so. Will be. Yeah. I mean, by the time we're done, they're now that we won't have any idea. Yeah.
No, we won't have a clue. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this time. Please go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy our merchandise. Also, oh, I forgot to say, The Foot of the Bed is now available. Our movie, our short film that is award-winning. It won Director's Choice at the Chicago Horror Film Festival. It won Best First-Time Filmmaker in Hollywood Horror Fest. It's won a bunch of other stuff and 23 awards or official selections. So check it out. It's on Amazon or it's on YouTube. It is called The Foot of the Bed. And click subscribe when you're there. Go to our YouTube and click subscribe. This week we are not posting the episode to YouTube, but who knows? We might do it once in a while going forward. We'll just see. So also our movie on Halloween night, we have finished all shooting. We did. I actually wrapped up the last shots that I need last night. So now I'm back to the drawing board on editing. So that will be, well, it won't be coming out until next year sometime, but be on the lookout.
And for those of you in the Quad City area, look for Newcastle Cemetery on Facebook and you will find my address where you can come see the Newcastle Cemetery Halloween display, or you can find me on the app Fright Maps, or you can find me on ChicagoHauntBuilders.com. You can find out where I live. You can drive to my house. Just don't knock on the door after 10. You can see our big display. It's only going to be up for another, I don't know, week and a half, and then it goes bye-bye.
So. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing. Joe's setup is fantastic. Fantastic. Also, our street is kind of a Halloween destination street for trick-or-treating. And it's starting already. Like last weekend, I mean, even right now, I'm looking out my window and there's people driving slowly up and down the street looking at, because a lot of the houses in our neighborhood and including our own have decorations up. And we're getting people walking up and down the street. I went out there last night. And it almost looked like it was Halloween. Like there were so many people walking around looking at decorations. So anyway, if you are on the Evergreen Street in Burbank, come to Evergreen and drive down. There's a whole bunch of houses on this street that are decorated. So
ours is the total opposite. We're on the end. We're like in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
So the only way to see this stuff, you have to be making.
Yeah.
We have no drive-by traffic.
Right.
So if I see a car, I know why you're coming down my street.
Well, here in Burbank, they've got like, it's called the Burbank Halloween map. And it's you sign up and say, yeah, I'm decorating my yard. And then people can follow that map. So
yeah.
We drove around looking at houses on Saturday night, Michelle and I and Rosie. We brought Rosie with us and drove around looking at decorations and so you can here they map it out for you so you can go look for the houses. So sure. And our neighbor across the street, they're big promoting stuff in Burbank. And so they've yeah. been promoting their house a lot. So that's why so many people are coming here.
I want to pick up my display and move it to Burbank.
Yeah.
So more people can
see people it. Check it out. Yeah. Well, if you're in the Quad City area, please make an effort to go look on. Look on Facebook under Newcastle Cemetery and look for Joe's address and go drive by because his setup is fantastic. It would fit right in.
A lot of homemade stuff. A lot of stuff you won't find in a store.
No, Joe. I mean, our stuff is mostly bought by, at Home Depot. Joe builds his stuff, so you got to go check it out. So I wish I lived closer. I'd love to go see it. So
I'll send you a picture.
All right. Well, that's it for this time. We will see you next time. Oh, and happy Halloween as well.
Happy Halloween.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse.
It was a shark.
little pig. Let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Hey, Joe, what did you watch recently?